And may our Lord's grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto us as we consider the Star of David. Let us go to our Lord in prayer. O Lord, through your servant David, you came as promised. Lord Jesus, you refer to yourself as even the Son of David, the King of the universe. We rejoice that you came to us bearing the responsibility of our sin, destroying and crushing the head of the old serpent, Satan, and sin and death along with him. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to rejoice that you startle us with the way that you get things done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to the newborn King. That's a familiar phrase. We sing it in the Christmas hymn. And yet, it causes us to marvel. God gets things done in a way that we would never expect. We're talking about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. And of course, we're also talking about King David this evening. Jesus, as he was approached on that Christmas, didn't really look much like the usual king. Remember the angel's announcement about how they should find the Messiah, the long-promised one? This will be a sign to you, the angel said. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It leaves us saying, really, God? That's how you come to us? That is absolutely amazing. And yet it had to be so, for our king had to come in. As all of us, he was tempted in every way, as we are, yet without sin. But in order to take our place, he became a son of the covenant, himself keeping that covenant absolutely and fully, completely, much unlike ourselves. And so we find in this exercise tonight a startlement at the way that God has revealed himself. Is it possible that as those shepherds came up to that baby in the manger, that they might have asked themselves, is this really the King of the Jews? The wise men also, remember, they asked, where is he who is to be born King of the Jews? And of course, this is sometime a little bit later, they come into a house, and yet Jesus is still the infant child. Might they have wondered about God's doings and his ways? We know for sure that Pilate, at the trial of Jesus, said, are you really the King of the Jews? It was a startling revelation to Pilate, not what one would expect. See, looks can be deceiving. Remember in our first exercise here, we talked about the stars and how stars can look like little tiny dots. And in fact, some of those little tiny dots are not just a single star. They might be a whole galaxy, billions or trillions of stars, who knows? And so God constantly surprises us. Now tonight we turn our attention to David, and the Star of David, as was mentioned, thank you for that, Ethan, is not really known where it came from. As you look at the front cover of your bulletin, I really love that graphic there because it totally illustrates what Ethan had read about the symbol of the Trinity and the intertwining of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in with the life of every person on this earth through our Lord Jesus Christ, who God incarnate, and thus he is with us. His visitation shows that he intends to be as one of us, yet without sin, to take our place and accomplish a new reality and bring a new restoration. But along the way, some surprising things happen along the way of the human lineage of our Lord. Remember the account of the prophet Samuel, and he was sent to anoint the second king of Israel. Saul, by this time, was messing it up, and he was not a good king at all, and so God had determined that the kingdom would be relegated to someone else. Samuel comes to the home of Jesse, and naturally it would be the eldest son who should be anointed, right? And yet the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, nope, that's not the one. And so they went on down through the line, seven sons, and Samuel had to be just wondering a little bit what the Lord was up to, because it seemed that all the sons were accounted for there. When it just hit Jesse, oh, that's right, I have an eighth son. But you know, he's just a teenage kid out tending to the sheep. And the Lord told Samuel, yep, that's the one. the most unlikely of circumstances. And so the star that we have before us this night also brings us to that reality that God does something in a way that we would never, ever expect. An insignificant David from an insignificant town called Bethlehem. And yet, on the other hand, that name Bethlehem means the house of bread. So already we see connections as Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever feeds on me will never go hungry, for God's grace is sufficient for our salvation. So out of that insignificant seeming town of Bethlehem comes the most significant of events. And it is fulfilled in our Lord. And it says of him, he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and he will bring peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ would be the ultimate fulfillment of that. But also David shared in it along the way as he reigned over the most peaceful kingdom that Israel has ever known. And the city named after him would be the place where our Lord and Savior would ultimately be born. Not of the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, but of the tribe of Judah. And thus God always is mixing it up, as it seems. This is the way of the kingdom of God. Ah, but that leaves me wondering, do we really understand what we're talking about when I use the word kingdom? After all, were any of you born under a monarchy? If you were, great, then maybe you understand it. But most of us were born in a democracy where there's equality and no king over us, per se. So perhaps we don't understand that terminology, the kingdom of God, in its fullest sense. I suppose to put it into modern parlance, we need to get kind of out of a political model and into an economic model, for example. And how about this? When speaking of the kingdom of God, we're talking about God's management style. Maybe that rings a little bit more familiar. In other words, I'm talking about the way that God gets things done. He always does the unexpected, like a baby lying in a manger, or a savior on an old rugged cross, a place where one is considered cursed. And indeed, our Lord was cursed for on our behalf. Jesus was also mocked as a sarcastic inscription was placed over him on the cross, namely these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You can hear the sarcasm left over from Pilate's own question, are you really the King of the Jews? Yeah, the way God runs things is really quite contrary to our expectations, and yet it's marvelous. Jesus in his teaching talks about the kingdom of God being like a farmer planting seeds, or like a woman baking bread, or a fisherman calling in a net of great catch of fish. So how does God get things done? The Star of David causes us to think about it for a moment. Remember, he was just a scrawny teenager tending sheep, and yet one of the first orders of business was for him to go against a professional soldier, not with the skill and armor of the day, but rather with stones and a sling. And God gave him the victory. As also God, Lord himself, the Son of David, would come again, wrapped in the love of God in swaddling clothes, in frail flesh and blood, and being placed in a manger, and then hanging on a cross, rising from a grave, and then even inspiring fishermen to make God's mark on all of history. Yes, it's quite amazing. But as we look at the stars, we begin to understand that's exactly how God does things. He doesn't take the greatest of stars to impress us. No, we can be impressed by an average star. Consider our own sun. The sun, if it were put up against all the other stars, would be a very distant and faint little light. And yet, what is it to us? Well, it's a powerhouse, a nuclear furnace, providing light and heat and holding the whole world in its orbit and providing life possibilities here, as we well know. Yes, and that speaks to us. For this same God who was willing to be humbled down to a baby in a manger, humbled even to the curse and the scourge of the cross, became triumphant over sin, Satan, and death, And this shows us, as we are in him by virtue of our baptism, having been buried with him and raised again and walking in newness of life, we walk in that newness once again towards that manger, understanding that God has done a great thing at a place called Bethlehem, where he provides himself as that eternal bread. Most powerfully, we remember this each time we partake in that wonderful feeding sacrament of body and blood. For what purpose? For the forgiveness of sins. That's what God is about, and that's how God gets things done, through those means, providing to us everlasting satisfaction and life eternal. May we rejoice as we once again approach the manger scene, the cross, and all the benefits that are provided to us there, for Christ's sake. Amen.